But brothers and sisters, the world will not set you free. All the accolades and achievements and popularity will never set you free. Only the truth can set you free. I don't know if anyone else has the same problem, but I have spent a lot of time and money and effort childproofing my house, but somehow my kids still get in. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 211. I love my children. We start every episode with a dad joke, so I hope you enjoyed that. It's not serious. But what would be serious is if you rate and reviewed this podcast. That would be a serious help to me and to this podcast. It helps other people find it. The highest compliment you can pay me is to share this with your family and friends. And so you can find out how to get in contact with us and all the ways to share this and all the different mediums you can find it on our website, mannafoodforthought.com, M-A-N-N-A, foodforthought.com, or mannafft.com. And while you're there, click on the subscribe button and you can join our psalm, our mailing list to get our psalm reflection emailed to you every Wednesday. And if you feel so inclined to click the give button, that would be amazing. And you can financially support this podcast for as little as $1 a month and help cover the costs to host and put together this this content. So thank you so much for being here. If it's your first time or you're a returning listener, it's so great always to be with you. Let's get into our joy junk and Jesus. So my joy this past week, made a great dinner last night for our big family dinner. Some lemon chicken and potatoes. It was so good. And I'm also in the midst of planning my wife's birthday. My wife, her birthday's in early May. And so we get to have kind of a day together without the kids, thanks to my incredible in-laws. So super excited about planning that. And that's just bringing me a lot of joy. My junk is that my poor, sweet daughter, my oldest, Hannah, has a really bad ear infection right now. She's very prone to ear infections. So if there's any parents out there who can help give some advice if you have some ear infection prone kids, let me know. My younger sister was really prone to them when I was growing up, so might just be something in the family. But yeah, she's gotten like four in the past like 6 months. It's crazy. So something's happening. But this one is particularly bad. It's probably the worst one she's ever had. So she's in a lot of pain. So you just please pray for her. I'd appreciate it. And then my Jesus moment, the Lord is just showing up in really incredible ways, especially in this really difficult ministry situation I've been walking with a family through. The Lord just keeps showing his provision and that he has a plan. And it's just, it's really incredible. It's really reminding me that there is no depth of suffering or pain that the Lord cannot redeem. So it's just a gift to be reminded of that, especially in the midst of the joyful Easter season that we are in. So speaking of Easter, this Sunday is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and we're going to get into our episode. And as always, we're going to look at the second reading for this upcoming Sunday, which is in the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 18 through 24. So let's listen to this once through, get a picture for what's being said, see if anything stands out, and then we'll pick apart, you know, what I think is resonating with me, at least for this week, and hopefully it will bless you. All right, so this is the first letter of John, believed to be written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of John. It's sort of a theological commentary and a short synopsis of the theology of the Gospel of John, but in letter form to the early church community. So 1 John 3, verses 18 through 24. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Now this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth, and reassure our hearts before him in whatever our hearts condemn. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What I love about this passage is this emphasis on the truth. You know, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and truth. And this is how we shall know that we belong to the truth. Because it's like this foundation that John is writing in this whole section. Everything depends on the truth. And he reminds us that God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. So God already knows the truth. And so when we live in the truth, we're conforming our hearts and our minds to God's knowledge, to the presence of God, because God is truth itself. He is all goodness, beauty, truth, love, belonging. He is all of that. So when we live in the truth, we're closer to him. And when we do not live in the truth, we are further from him. And so to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, means that we are people of the truth. And it's just a simple question. Do you say what you mean and mean what you say? Do you? Do I? Because when we live in the truth, it's obvious what and who we stand for, that we stand at least for something virtuous and good, and that we're not willing to compromise for the highest bidder or for our own selfish interests. Jesus reminds us very early in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, "Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." So when we don't live in the truth, brothers and sisters, we are opening a doorway for the enemy. We are opening a doorway for the enemy. And this can take many forms. You know, there's lies of omission, where we don't tell someone something that we should tell them. You know, the other day, this is maybe like a week and a half ago now, I was driving by Target near where I live, I wasn't shopping there. I was leaving a nearby area. But I saw a woman come out of Target, and she dropped a bin from her cart that was on the lower level of her cart, and she kept walking. And it was a nice set of, like, plastic bins. And I immediately, like, drove up and rolled down my window. I said, "Ma'am, you dropped something." And she was like, "Thank you so much." But as I was pulling away, I realized, like, there's probably a lot of people who would have just, like, watched her walk away and then hopped out and grabbed that. You know, it was just a free stuff for them. They didn't have to pay for it. And that really just kind of broke my heart. Like, that never would have occurred to me to do. But it's a reality that, like, sometimes we don't tell the truth that needs to be told because we want to gain something. There's also the sin of calumny, which is just straight up lying. You know, we're lying to deceive other people. We're lying to get ahead. We're lying to get our way. We're lying to avoid embarrassment. We're lying to avoid consequences. We're lying about another person. All of that is calumny. Especially when it's directed at another person, it's calumny. And then detraction also falls in this category of lying or not telling the truth. And detraction is actually telling the truth to someone who does not need to know it. So things like gossip or causing scandal by revealing information that is meant to be private, breaking confidentiality, talking about someone behind their back, all of that is within this realm of us not letting our yes mean yes and our no mean no. Because brothers and sisters, Jesus is the truth. And if we do not live in the truth, then he is not in us. He himself said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me." So anything other than the truth is a distortion and is from the enemy. Like Jesus says in John 8:44, he says, "You belong to your father and the devil, and you willingly carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks in character because he is a liar and the father of lies." Brothers and sisters, when we don't live in the truth, we are placing ourselves in the arms of the enemy. I have been witnessing firsthand in ministry, and I've witnessed in other areas of my own life, whether it was I who caused it or seeing it caused by others, how lies just tear families and relationships apart. It is so much easier, even if we're afraid of the consequences, it is so much better to tell the truth and just get it out there and then deal with the reality instead of creating this whole alternate reality of our lies that we then have to unwind when eventually it comes to light. Because brothers and sisters, the truth will always come out because God is greater than us. He knows everything. So in the end, the truth will always come out. Most people don't know this, that I've said this on the podcast many times before, but when we die and we go to our particular judgment with Jesus, yes, we have like our judgment. But at the end of time, every soul is brought forward for the final judgment. And that is when every sin and every good work is made known to the entire world. So our sins will be made known to everyone in order for the Lord to show how sin affected all of us and how his redemption saved us. It is necessary in the act of salvation for every sin to be made right, for every sin to be made known so it can be redeemed and healed. The truth will always come out, and most of the time it happens in this life. Most of us won't have to wait till the final judgment. The truth comes out. It gets found out eventually. And it will always be victorious in the end. The truth, it will set us free. Set us free to live the lives of abundance the Lord has promised us. Jesus says in John 8, right before that section about the devil being the father of lies, in verses 31 to 32, he said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So, brothers and sisters, the truth has the power to set you free, or it can condemn us. You know, Paul in 2 Timothy is writing to Timothy, and he's warning him to disregard useless disciples. He says, "Be eager to present yourself as acceptable to God, a workman who causes no disgrace, imparting the word of truth without deviation." So the truth, if we choose not to tell it, the truth will come out and that will condemn us. Or we can live in the truth and not deviate from it. Present ourselves as acceptable to God and worthy of the calling that he has given us. The more we tell lies, the more we believe them to be true. Lies turn reality upside down. They turn reality inside out. They can smear, they can destroy and ruin lives. You know, I've mentioned this story, or it's kind of a bit of a parable of the story of a rabbi, someone asking a rabbi. They say, "Rabbi, how can I take back the words, slanderous words that I have spoken against my neighbor?" And the rabbi says, "I want you to go get a pillow and I want you to bring it here." And so the woman goes and brings a pillow to the rabbi, and the rabbi cuts it open with a knife and lets all the feathers in the pillow blow off in the wind. And then he looks at the woman and he says, "I want you to go and collect every single feather and put it back in this pillow." And the woman says, "Well, that's impossible." And the rabbi says, "It is just as difficult to take back words that we've spoken out of anger or hatred once they have left our lips." We need to be aware of the ramifications of our words, the power of a lie, but we also need to be aware of the infinitely more abundant power that lies in the truth, that lies in the Lord. So brothers and sisters, I don't know how this applies to you. I just really spoke to me to share this message, but I think in one way or another, many of us are struggling to live in the truth. Many of us live a lie every day, pretending that we're happy when we're not, putting on a mask, acting like we're like everyone around us, or hiding our true beliefs or our true intentions because we're afraid of what others might think of us. Not coming clean or asking for forgiveness because we're too proud or selfish to recognize we hurt someone, or because we're afraid of the consequences, we're afraid to be embarrassed. We just want to get our way, we just want to get ahead, we just want to look out for number one. The brothers and sisters, number one is the Lord, and he is the truth, and he knows the truth about your life, and eventually that truth will come out. And so we are given the opportunity and given the free will to have the permission to let the truth come out on our terms or on his. But it will come out either way. And so, brothers and sisters, I pray that this week, maybe all of us can take a hard look in the mirror and look at who we really are versus the people we present to the world. We can look at the things about us that we run away from, that we hide from. And if there's things that we're ashamed of or that we haven't been truthful about, that have involved us turning away from the Lord or falling into sin, then we can run to confession and hear the truth of the words of absolution and forgiveness spoken over us. We need that. But I think a lot of times this is also much more subtle and sinister. We make little compromises in who we are. We kind of sell pieces of ourselves to the highest bidder to fit in, to conform to what the culture is around us in the workplace, in our friend group, in our family, because we don't want to make waves. We don't want to be the odd one out. We don't want to be ostracized. We don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be questioned or ridiculed or interrogated. But brothers and sisters, the world will not set you free. All the accolades and achievements and popularity will never set you free. Only the truth can set you free. In fact, we can live most of our life enslaved to the false idols and false gods of achievement and accolades and popularity. and we get to the end of our life, and where are all those things? Because everyone has a resume when they die, and they still die. No matter what they've achieved, no matter what accolades they have performed, striven for, at the end of our life, death is the great equalizer. And we all meet the Lord, the one who knows all the truth and sees all the truth. And that is the real moment of testing. The real moment where the truth comes out and there's no running away from it, no more lies. And so whether you tend to embellish stories about yourself, or you've lied about your past or who you are, or you want to sound more interesting, or whether you're lying about the things you're struggling with because you don't think anyone will understand or you're ashamed of them, whether you're presenting a mask to the world because you're afraid if anyone sees the real you, they'll run away, whatever it is, know that the Lord is always close to us when we live in the truth, because when we live in the truth, we are abiding in who He is, the way, the truth, and the life. And so you are never alone in the truth. In an earthly sense, maybe we might lose relationships, maybe people might be confused or hurt, but we are never alone. And so I pray, brothers and sisters, that you will be inspired to live in the truth, to really share authentically who you are, what you feel, what you believe with other people, to make amends for the things that you've done wrong, to speak truth in the places where injustice is happening, to let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, to cling to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. This is how we shall know that we belong to the truth. For God is greater than our hearts and knows everything. That is all I have for you this week, my brothers and sisters. Until next time, I will see you in the Eucharist. God bless.